Jesus is not saying when he talks about confessing Christ, you know, if there was ever a time in your life when you said that you believed in me, then everything's fine with you forever. That is certainly not what he's saying. He is saying, if you continue to confess me, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, Jesus Christ calls us, his disciples, to a life of confession.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're really looking at Matthew 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven.
It's a magnificent promise that Christ would acknowledge us as being his own in the presence of the Father. I mean, this is a marvelous promise.
Yeah.
And the promise is given to those who confess him, those who acknowledge him. So that leads to a really important question. Am I confessing Jesus Christ? So it's a great question for every person listening to the program. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord? Don't mean did you do that once at some point years ago. I'm
right.
Asking, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your friend, your Master, your Redeemer today? Is he that to you? In that case, there is this great promise that can be yours. And if it's not the case right now at the beginning of the program, I hope it will be the case that you confess Jesus Christ before the end of the program today.
Well, I do hope that you'll keep listening and that you'll open your Bible and join us in Matthew chapter 10. As we begin the message, Jesus will confess you before the Father. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, if you were to list the greatest days of your life, you would probably have a few to choose from. You might include a graduation, some might include a wedding day, if that has been your experience, a day a child was born, a day a child graduated, the day a child got married, day you retired. I mean, there are a range of great days that would be marvelous moments in your life. But Jesus speaks here about a day that will come in your experience so momentous that it will outshine any other day of your life. One day you will stand in the presence of God and you will know yourself to be there then as much as you know yourself to be here now. And on that day, when you stand in the presence of God, you will see Jesus Christ. You've heard about him all your life. We worship him as we gather, but you will see Jesus Christ. And more than that, you will hear him speak. And more than that, he will speak about you. And he tells us very clearly that he will say one of two things about you, one of two things about me, one of two things about every person who has ever lived. Either he will confess you or he will disown you. That is what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. To confess you would mean that Jesus would say to the Father, this is Colin, this is Greg. You put your name in there. They belong to me. He belongs to me. She belongs to me. To disown you would mean that Jesus Christ would say to the Father, this is, put your name in there, he is nothing to do with me, or she is nothing to do with me. But Jesus says, now every person is going to hear me say one of these two things. Jesus Christ will say one of these two things about you. Now, here's what's important. Jesus makes it very clear that what he says about us then is intimately tied to what we say about him now. Look at what he says. Whoever acknowledges me before men, that's what we say about Jesus now. I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. That's what he will say about you then. But whoever disowns me before men, that's what some folks are saying about Jesus now. They are disowning him. Well, Jesus says, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now, by any standards, these are words of our Lord Jesus Christ of supreme importance to every one of us. And as I've reflected on them this week, there have been many questions in my mind. One has been, well, what exactly is Jesus saying here? What does this mean? What does it mean to confess him? What does it mean to disown him? Is that something that I might have done or that any of us may have done in the past? And if so, where do we stand? Then what would it actually look like for us to confess Christ in our lives? What does this look like in real terms in our experience? And how are we going to go about doing it? Well, these are the questions that are before us. And again, I hope that you have the Bible open in front of you at Matthew in chapter 10. Let's begin with what it means. What is Jesus saying here? And I want to ask three questions and then point out two things that to me at least were a surprise. Here's the first question, trying to get at what it means. What does it mean to confess Christ? What does that mean? Well, the word that's used here, confess, in the Greek, it is homologio, which tells you what it means, homologio, one word. To confess Jesus is to be of one word with Jesus Christ. In other words, you say what he says. His word has become authoritative for you in your life. You're not saying, well, you know, Jesus says this, but of course I've got an alternative opinion. No, you are of one word with Jesus Christ. What he says is truth for you. When he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you're saying, he is my way, he is my truth, and he is my life. By the way, in this culture of ambivalence in which we live, in which it really is much more comfortable for us to describe ourselves as, you know, seekers on a journey and so forth. That's fine if you're looking at the claims of Jesus Christ. He invites you to do that. But I have to say to you today that if you want Jesus to confess you on the last day, you cannot remain ambivalent about him forever. There has to come a moment in your life where you cross the line from being a seeker with a kind of open-mindedness about the whole thing to being a confessor, to say, I am of one word with Jesus Christ, and I place myself under his authority. And I invite you to take that step even today. There would be no better day to do that. What does it mean to confess Christ, to be of one word with him? What does it mean, secondly, to disown Christ? When Jesus says, whoever disowns me before men. Now, some of us, I think, may be saying, well, now, you know, I remember a time when I said in anger, I said to God, I'm done with you. Or perhaps you said something absolutely blasphemous. Perhaps you made a commitment, a pledge in your life in the past that was the very opposite of faith in Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I certainly have disowned him. So where do I stand? Well, now, remember that Peter disowned Jesus. He did it three times. And then afterwards, he went out and he wept bitterly. He was very sorry about what he had done. After the day of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Peter. And you remember, Jesus did not say to Peter, well, now, Peter, I'm sorry, but you've disowned me, and therefore you're done, my friend. I am now disowning you. That's not what Jesus said. At the end of John's gospel, Jesus forgives Peter and restores him to fellowship with Christ, and more than that, to ministry for Christ. So in the light of this, we can be very sure that Jesus is not saying here, you know, if you have ever disowned me, then you're done, you're gone forever. He's not saying that. What he's clearly saying is, if you continue to disown me, apart from me, you live your life apart from me, then I will disown you on the last day. Now, that is very important, because if that is how we are to understand the second part of the verse, it follows that it must be the way in which we understand the first part of the verse. In other words, Jesus is not saying when he talks about confessing Christ, you know, if there was ever a time in your life when you said that you believed in me, then everything's fine with you forever. That is certainly not what he's saying. He is saying, if you continue to confess me, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. In other words, Jesus Christ calls us, his disciples, to a life of confession. The life that he calls us to when he says, follow me, is a life in which we are to seize every opportunity to confess Jesus Christ. That is the life to which we are called. And he calls us to it right here. Now, one more question as we're trying to get to the heart of what Jesus means. How is our confession of Christ connected to his confession of us? Jesus brings these two things together. Whoever confesses me, I will confess him. Now, how are these two things connected together? If you read this verse in isolation, it could sound like salvation by works, couldn't it? You know, if you do this for me, Jesus says, I will do this for you. That would be salvation by works. And of course, that is not the gospel. So let's remember this as we understand the words of Jesus correctly. We are saved by the blood of Christ, not by an act of confession. That is very important, because otherwise, if you get this confused, you'll spend the rest of your life thinking, am I confessing enough? Is my confession consistent? And so forth and so on. We are saved by the blood of Christ, not by an act of confession. There is no redeeming power in confessing Christ. The redeeming power lies in the Christ who is confessed. The importance of confession then is this. Christ becomes ours by faith, and confession is an evidence of our faith in this Christ who saves us. So very important to have this distinction clear. And this is why how we should understand Romans 10 and verse 9, when Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Remember that redeeming power lies in the Christ who is confessed, not in the act of confessing itself. It's him who saves us. That's important to keep clear.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we've been looking at what it means to confess Christ. And in just a couple of moments, we're going to come back and we're going to look at two surprises that these words of Jesus hold. So stay with us. Well, our message is from a larger series called Rock Solid. We're looking at seven promises Christ makes to you. And if you miss any of the broadcasts in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Another way to listen is to get the entire series on CD. Ask about Rock Solid when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, as we get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Now, as we thought a little about what Jesus means, what it means to confess, what it means to disown, and how our confession of Jesus and his confession of us are connected together, let me just identify two things that at least to me were surprising about these words of Jesus. The first surprise to me was this, that Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers here, but to disciples. If you look back to chapter 10 and verse 1, you'll see it's very clear throughout this whole chapter, Jesus is speaking to the apostles. He is speaking to those who have made a commitment to follow him already. So if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are truly a Christian, this statement of the Lord Jesus is especially for you. It is for me. See, when we read about confessing Jesus, we immediately think, oh, this must be evangelism, you know, calling people who are unconverted to make a decision and to confess Christ. Well, surely there's an application in that regard. But Jesus is not speaking to the unbelieving world here. He is speaking to disciples. And he's speaking to them at the very moment when he's sending them out on a mission trip. And he's telling us, therefore, what he is calling us to do as those who are committed to follow him. And the second thing that was really a surprise to me looking at this is that when you read the chapter, and we've read a large part of it already today, you discover that Jesus is not talking about something easy, but he is talking about something hard. You see, you read this verse, whoever acknowledges me. So you say, oh, this sounds pretty easy. That's what I have to do? Oh, I just have to acknowledge Jesus? Oh, right, okay. I have to say that he's the Savior. I have to say that I believe in him. Nothing very difficult about that. So you read this verse and you might be tempted to think, oh, this is the easiest thing in the world. But in actual fact, we're going to see today that it's the opposite. It's the very hardest. Look with me at the context. Verse 16. See what Jesus is saying. He says to his disciples, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. What chance do sheep have among wolves? Verse 17. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. verse 18. This is all what's going to happen on the mission trip. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings. Verse 19, when they arrest you. Verse 21, brother will betray brother to death. Children will have parents put to death. Verse 22, all men will hate you because of me. Verse 23, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Not if you are persecuted, when you are persecuted. Verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. So Jesus is describing what lies ahead of them in the mission that he's sending them out to, not just at this moment, but in the mission that lies ahead of these disciples through their life. And he then says to them, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Now you see, suddenly when you see where Jesus says this and to whom he says it and the context, you realize that this confessing of Jesus is obviously going to be the most demanding, challenging thing in all of these men's lives. It's going to be done in courts. It's going to be done on pain of floggings. It's going to be done in the most desperate and violent of situations. Now, folks, as we try and apply the scripture to us today, we have to understand that what Jesus is speaking about here is not some light, easy, hey, I'm a Christian. He's describing something that will be the most demanding, challenging thing in your entire life. And the question, therefore, that is on my mind as I've tried to meditate about these scriptures is simply this. What does it mean for us to confess Christ in America? See, you know from history that since Jesus spoke these words, there have been a long line of faithful men and women who have been tortured for their faith, have laid down their lives, and never more than in our lifetime. And there are some here who have suffered significantly for your profession of faith in Christ. There are some among us here in our congregation, you have been disowned by your family because of your faith in Jesus. There are some who have been cut out of an inheritance, cut out of a will, because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others among us who have suffered in other particular ways, but not most of us. I have never been beaten up for my faith in Christ. I have never been imprisoned, far less tortured. I've experienced hatred, but never beyond words. So what does it mean for me to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, let's not think that when we say, oh, I'm a Christian, in this environment where we are so protected, that that somehow aligns itself with the costliness of what Jesus is describing here and the costliness of what our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ are experiencing right now in other places in the world. So you see my question. What does it mean for us to confess Jesus Christ in America, given that this confession that Jesus describes is clearly for disciples the hardest thing they will ever do in their lives, the most challenging thing you will ever face? And I want to answer that question by suggesting to you seven ways in which we can confess Jesus Christ. Seven ways in which we can confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And I commend these to you. They relate to particular situations in which some of us find ourselves right now. And they give us the opportunity to do what Jesus is saying right here. Now, the first one really is the easiest. Perhaps they're in ascending order of difficulty. You can confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ in baptism. Just very briefly on this, Christian faith involves a clear-cut drawing of the line in the sand. You move from being a seeker to being a confessor. You take your stand with Jesus. You become one word with him. And that is not a private matter. It is in the New Testament a public matter. And that is the significance of baptism. That's why we have a dedication for children, because they can't confess Jesus as Lord right now. We have a dedication and prayer and teaching for them in anticipation of the day when they will. And that will happen in baptism. Have you been baptized as a believer? And if not, why not? Second, you can confess the glory of Christ in costly obedience. Now, I want to encourage us as a congregation this morning, because in all of these ways of confession, I have to tell you, my own heart is moved and my own faith is greatly strengthened by seeing examples of this happening among us in this very congregation. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hides it again, and then with joy he sells everything he has in order to buy the field." In other words, Jesus says, when you see something of supreme value, you go after it irrespective of cost. And I see that happening in costly obedience widely among us as a congregation. Some of us are stretching ourselves out in serving Jesus Christ as never before. Some of us are stretching ourselves out in giving to Jesus Christ as never before. Costly acts are proclaiming, confessing the glory of Jesus Christ. I love the story in the Gospels of Mary, who had this flask of perfume. And it was very valuable, so valuable that it had become a family heirloom, passed down perhaps through the generations. And so here's this nest egg. And Mary, seeing Christ just before the crucifixion, she takes it and she breaks it over the feet of Jesus. Jesus says she has done something beautiful. In this act of costly obedience, she has confessed the glory of Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we're going to pause right here, but we'll continue to look at seven ways to confess Jesus next time. So I hope you make it a point to join us. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app, which you'll find for free at your app store. Well, Open the Bible is listener supported. We depend on your financial generosity to keep the program on the station, make the app and the online presence available. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd love to send you two copies of Pastor Colin's new book called Christmas Stories. It tells the story of Jesus' birth in the first person from the perspective of different Bible characters. And Colin, it sounds like a unique book. Where'd the idea come from?
Well, as a pastor, you're always trying to tell the great story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a fresh way. And over several years, I just hit on the idea of telling the story in a first-person form through the eyes of various people who were involved in the event. And so our friends at 10 of Those Publishing have gathered some of these together, and we now have Christmas Stories. That is the Christmas story told through the eyes of Mary, through the eyes of Joseph, through the eyes of Simeon, the prophet who blessed the Lord Jesus in the temple, even through the eyes of Herod and through the eyes of the angel Gabriel. And it just brings something fresh to the telling of the Christmas story. And it's designed to be read aloud. It's for all the family. It's for you and people you love. Read it aloud at Christmas. It will help to bring the Christmas story and all of its wonder and all of its glory in a fresh way into your life.
Well, we want to send you not one, but two copies of Pastor Colin's new book entitled Christmas Stories. It's our way of saying thank you for giving a financial gift this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.